What up, fam, and welcome back to a brand new season of The Music Buzz. The Music Buzz is the podcast where we talk about music, pop culture, and current events while we get buzzed. We're your hosts, Lauren Brumley
and Justine Avila.
Y'all, today we are catching up on the music news. We've obviously been away since the holiday season. We've taken a little bit of a hiatus, and there's a lot to catch up on. So today we're just going to be kind of debriefing some of the stories that we've missed over the last few months and talking about what's happening right now.
100%. There's a lot happening.
There's so much.
Most importantly, or first and foremost, what are we buzzing on here, Lauren?
Today we are buzzing on Pitch Invasion Lager from Fat Bottom Brewery here in Nashville. And it's fitting because the Nashville Soccer Club has just started their season. And, you know, this is the official beer of the soccer team.
They're not in the new stadium yet, right?
Not yet. I think that starts in May or June.
Okay.
So exciting stuff. I literally never was into soccer, but I've been to a few NSC games and they're pretty fun.
I have not been to one yet, but everyone raves about it. And I'm very excited about a brand new soccer stadium in Nashville.
Me too. We got to go to a game.
I would love to.
Yeah. At the new stadium. It'd be really fun. But it's just, it's kind of high action.
Yeah.
Like not a lot of scoring, obviously, but it's like high energy. People, like soccer fans are at an 11 at all times.
Right. I'm just going like back to my traumatic days of playing in high school. And all I did was run around aimlessly. I think it was like, you're outside mid and your job is just to sprint up and down the field and pass the ball in.
That sounds horrible.
It was. I think watching will be a lot more fun.
100%. It really is. I will say I wish our team had better colors, you know?
Yeah.
Yellow and navy just don't really work for me.
It also reminds me of the Predators. Like, yeah. I mean, I know it's a different kind of yellow, but I'm just like, we couldn't pick another one.
I know. And if they had at least picked the same yellow, we could have a lot easier of a time buying clothes to wear to these events. But now you got to buy two separate kinds of yellows, you know?
Exactly.
Thought this through, but yeah. Whatever. Anywho, what is first up on the docket today, Jay?
Well, there's literally been so much going on in the music world, but I feel like the ongoing saga and the one that has really dominated headlines recently has been Spotify and Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I want to start this out by saying I feel like Spotify is always in hot water.
Yeah.
I mean, they're never not in hot water with the rates they pay songwriters to some of the content. But I think this has been like the biggest story kind of to date. And their stock, I was actually reading the other night, has dropped, I think, 40% since its like all-time high, which is a big drop for them. So it's also puts them in a like kind of precarious financial situation.
Yeah.
But do you want to break down what's been going on with Joe Rogan and everyone, kind of the backlash really from musicians?
Yeah, we kind of maybe can tag team this because maybe you can fill in some details if I miss any, but really the whole issue started with Joe Rogan, who is has the most popular podcast on Spotify, who has had the most popular podcast period, but then got an exclusive deal with Spotify for multiple millions.
It was originally reported as 100 million.
That's insane.
Hang on. We later found out because of this whole saga that it was incorrect and it was actually a $200 million deal.
That number, that amount just doesn't even compute to my brain. What do you mean?
Me either.
I will say he does do, I think it's a daily podcast or at least multiple times a week. So it's a lot of content, but that's an insane number. And so his podcast, he just kind of has these super in-depth, like 1 to 2 hour episode interviews with different people. And he's gotten in a lot of hot water over the last, I think, probably at least year or so, but especially recently regarding medical misinformation around the vaccine and around a lot of different things. But that's kind of, I think, the biggest one right now that's caused this whole issue was the medical misinformation. And so a lot of people have started to ban Spotify because Spotify is giving this person a platform, like giving them probably the biggest monetary, like,
incentive in terms of like supporting them.
Yeah. Like the person they're supporting the most is using a platform that is massive. He has so many listeners to spread misinformation. And so Spotify is kind of holding their ground on it and saying, we're not removing his podcasts. But basically a lot of these artists and public figures were calling on Spotify to remove Joe Rogan from the platform, and they're just not doing that. So then now all these people are basically just canceling their subscriptions, speaking out against it.
Spotify has taken like the original Facebook approach, which has been, we are a platform for content. We are not moderators of said content in terms of like freedom of speech. And Joe Rogan has also taken that stance where he's like, I am not an MD. I'm not a professional. All I'm doing is having a conversation, and you need to take with it what you will. But this is not professional medical advice. I think where he's like disassociating himself is where everyone claims, well, you have all of these followers. So it's like separating. In my mind, it's the same argument as separating the artist from the art. Like, yeah. And you can't really do that. In some instances, because this is, people follow this and then don't do other research on it. So they take what he's saying as like truth.
Yeah. Like, and he has a certain level of responsibility with a platform that large.
Correct.
To make sure that if someone is saying something on his podcast that could potentially lead people into non-truths, he should be responsible for explaining that, or for like counter arguing or whatever it may be, or putting a disclaimer that, hey, maybe this information may not be completely accurate, blah blah blah.
Right. And I think Neil Young really kicked it off, because he was the artist that was like, well, Spotify can have Joe Rogan or Neil Young, but you can't have both. Because of all of the vaccine misinformation. And I think, too, where people have gotten really hung up is, like, the amount that Joe Rogan has gotten from Spotify. But it's interesting that they, like, broke it down, because Spotify pays out so much money on the music side of their business that it's not necessarily profitable, where on the podcast side of things, they can pay for that content, but they make so much money on the back end on advertising, and they don't have to pay out that revenue on like two rights holders, essentially. So they make a chunk of their money, which is why, like, over the course of the past five years, you've seen them really shift to other content. And it's not necessarily music that makes Spotify who they are. They've literally pivoted because their business plan can't sustain it on just music alone.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is India RE made probably the most interesting and valuable take to me and understanding why a lot of the artists are pulling out. And she explained it as Spotify built their platform on the backs of the work of the songwriters and the artists who have gotten paid cents, less than cents, like fractions of cents. And artists and songwriters have been fighting to get more for their streams. Like, Spotify is making who knows how much on subscription, then to then pay out the artist such a small amount, but then offer these podcasters hundreds of millions. These songwriters are like, if this is who you're choosing to give your platform to, but you won't even pay us cents, you're giving us fractions of cents, kindly go F yourself.
Well, and it's also the argument, right, on the songwriter side of things, which I think is different than the artist side of things. Because Spotify's argument is, we're paying for the master copyright, right, for that content. So a lot of that revenue goes to your label if you're an artist. And that's between you and your label if you're not getting paid out. The songwriter one is a different piece where they're just not paying songwriters enough.
Yeah.
But for example, a Joe Rogan, they'll pay hand over foot for, because essentially they don't have to pay like a streaming royalty to him, as far as I understand it. Like, it's an upfront deal just for all the content that he provides. And I'm sure he has to provide X number of episodes per week, etc. Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
They make their money from their advertisements on that. But the India Ari one is also super interesting because Joe Rogan initially got in hot water because of vaccine misinformation, but then people started digging up old episodes and he started using or had previously used racist terms, mm-hmm. which he then had to apologize for because then a lot of black artists were like, well, pull mine from Spotify because yeah. this guy is using those terms that I'm not okay with.
Yeah.
And then I think, like I said, he did have to publicly apologize, but you know, I think too, it's interesting to see like Spotify is not going to let him go because he's their biggest moneymaker.
Yeah. But it also just, I think they're staking their claim of like who they are. And a lot of people are not driving with that.
Well, and they're trying to remain neutral to say, we are not here to moderate, right? It's the same way with like,
which I could say is true. You can say that we're just a host for, we're just a platform that hosts content, but that argument is irrelevant when you're paying this person to be on your platform. Right. Then you are responsible for what that content is because you're paying for it.
But do you think that that argument is different in the case of like Chris Brown or R. Kelly? Because they're not necessarily paying out R. Kelly, but they are from the money that he generates through their platform. And like,
yeah, but they have taken actions against those people. They stopped putting them on playlists. Is it enough? Did they take them all the way off? No. But they did take actions towards it. So how is that different now from the Joe Rogan thing?
Well, they could, I mean, not playlist him, right? So you have to just go actively.
Yeah, but they're
seek
not
out.
Even doing that. They're just defending.
Yeah.
Right. They're just making a statement at this point.
And they, I think, as a company, are afraid of going down that rabbit hole the same way Facebook was, of being like, well, if we start with one, then we have to do it for everything else.
And which I understand. Yeah.
I mean,
and like, it's just that like fine line of freedom of speech versus like safety.
Right. Right.
Pretty much. And like not having a platform where people can just say harmful things.
Right. And it's not, this is not by any means like an apples to apples comparison, but like Morgan Wallen got in hot water last year, right? But like Spotify did not take down his music. And in fact, people streamed it and purchased it more than ever before. And I think,
yeah,
you know, they're just, because Joe Rogan said that, like they're not going to do it with all of their artists and people that have messed up, honestly, before in the past, because you could make the same argument for Justin Bieber.
But also, here's the difference with that. Those artists have gotten in trouble for things outside of the music. It's not like the thing that's on Spotify is harmful.
Right.
It's not like they're dropping the N-bomb. Well, Chris Brown is, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
He can. But like, it's not like those incidences are happening on the platform, which it is with Joe.
Right.
And what's crazy is people made compilation videos of how many times he said the N-word with a hard R, like, so many times he used it. And you're just like, now he comes forward and he's like, yeah, I shouldn't have used that. It was a mistake. It's like, did you not know that the 45 times you said that on a podcast?
Right. And you're also like, you know, you're being recorded and filmed.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can claim you were drunk or something like that. Like,
yeah. And like, not only are you just saying that in your life, you're saying it on this recorded thing that's going out
exactly
to millions of people.
Right.
So it's kind of nuts. I kind of understand all sides of it, but again, like going back to India Ari, she was like, I feel like he should be able to say what he wants to say, but I can choose to not have my content on that same platform. I can choose that that's a place where I don't want to be.
Right.
And
exactly.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her label probably won't love that, but she can.
Yeah.
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 And I think it's like, it also becomes difficult, right? Because not that Spotify is the end all be all, but it is the number one streaming platform for the US. So by doing that, you hurt your own pocket. And it's like, is that what you want to do? Like, you know what I mean? Like, almost your morals are tested because they have so much money to put behind marketing for an album or whatever, playlisting, all that good stuff. So it's like, I mean, it's a tough stand, I think, to take.
Yeah, it is for sure. But that's an ongoing thing. I think it's kind of died down right now, but I think we're just going to continue to kind of hear about this really until, I think, now that it's become the payout to like the music side of things, I think that conversation is going to continue until something changes there. really.
I agree.
Because yeah. I think the Joe Rogan thing has kind of died down. It's like the people who feel a strong way about it have left the platform and they're not coming back. And the people that are still there are probably not leaving, whether it's because of convenience or whether because they think that, you know, you should be able to say what you want to say. But I think like we'll still continue to hear the Spotify thing for a while.
Oh, I think so too. And especially even if it's not Joe Rogan, it's going to be someone else.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Maybe listen to the Music Buzz instead.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just have a hard time. Like, I mean, Joe Rogan is just a tool bag. But I've listened to a couple of interviews just because it was with a person that I was interested in. And like, they've been some good conversations. So it's kind of sucks because I'm like, I probably would listen to some of your episodes if like they were just chill. And
right. Right. I mean, and it is a unique way. They were talking about like his interview style and it's just almost like unfiltered because yeah. he just rambles and he allows like whoever his guest is to kind of ramble.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, I think he has a little bit of leverage from that standpoint. I would be curious to see kind of who's on his episodes moving forward as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The guests yeah. will change. Because I have seen, he's been controversial for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some guests on his show that I'm surprised by. Even before the whole Spotify controversy, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of shocked that this person is cool with being on this kind of show.
Yeah. Well, like, so. Who?
I can't remember exactly, but it's like, I mean, recently I saw an episode with like Jewel. I'm like, that's kind of interesting.
But then again, that's the same hard place we're talking about because you want to be featured on that podcast because it's the number one podcast
yeah.
in the US right now. So,
and if you, especially yeah. if you went on there and you disagreed with Joe Rogan, that episode right. is going to freaking right. blow up. Probably.
Exactly.
Anyway, interesting times. Next up on news, we were going to be talking for our first episode back this year probably about the Grammys, but then they got canceled because of COVID. Well, not canceled, rescheduled.
So now they're in Vegas. Lauren, are you going?
I'm going.
Wow.
I'm
good,
so excited.
On you. Are you pumped?
I really am. Like, I think it's going to be a very cool experience. It's kind of weird that it's in Vegas, but that's where they've had the Latin Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've already had run this operation there before, so right. I think it'll be good. But I'm excited. It's kind of a random year of nominations just because a lot of artists who normally I think would be releasing albums have just been in like that COVID funk or like mm-hmm. it's just been kind of a weird couple years for music. So it's weird. Like this year's leading nominee is John Batiste, which yeah. is so random, but I love him.
I mean, I agree. I know we like texted about it a little bit and it was like super random that it's him. I would expect someone a little more commercial leaning.
Yeah.
Like a Billie Eilish or someone like that. But of course.
Yeah. I think we did talk about the nominations a little bit mm-hmm. on the episode is when they came out. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. They have not announced who is presenting or performing yet. So that will be.
But Trevor Noah is still hosting, correct?
He's hosting, yeah.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Kind of random.
Yeah.
I don't know what he has to do with music, but they always kind of pick some like random talk show host to do it.
Well, and I remember watching him last year and I was like, he was fine. He wasn't necessarily my favorite, but
yeah.
it was fine.
Yeah, like I like him. He's not like, I'm not going to be like peeing my pants laughing or right. anything, but.
Well, and I'm curious to see what the ratings are because this is getting into another topic a little bit, but the ACMs are now next weekend and they're going to be the first award show in that arena, I guess, that's not really hosted on cable television.
Oh yeah,
it's all Amazon Prime streamed.
That's kind of crazy.
It's crazy. So I'm curious to see if the other award shows will follow suit pending how ACMs go.
I don't know, I kind of feel like depending on the award show, like those are kind of big nights for the networks. So I feel like they wouldn't want to lose them.
Depending on the viewership.
Because yeah, it depends networks, on the one, I guess.
Yeah, the networks make the money from selling the advertisements, right? So if they don't have the viewers, then that ad revenue is going to like just tank. But
you would think, too, that like all these huge celebrities in one place is probably going to bring more viewers than like a rerun of NCIS or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth it to buy the rights to the show, right?
Yeah.
Like it all comes down to opportunity costs and those numbers.
And I will say, with everyone, like, we've talked about cord cutting before, like, our whole generation does not have cable. Streaming it on a platform like Amazon or whatever is a lot more accessible to a lot of people. So
yeah, we were taking a poll, like, with a group of people, and it was essentially like, they were like, oh, okay, so this is not, the ACMs are not going to be on cable TV. And they were like, raise your hand if you have cable TV. Two people raised their hand, and then they were like, I have my parents login. And yeah, then they did, you know, the other test. So they were like, raise your hand if you have Amazon Prime. Everyone raised their hand.
Yeah.
So it was like, the accessibility is there. It's just a matter of you're going to actually, like, tune in.
Right. And I will say, like, I only just now, well, yeah, I guess they have Amazon Prime apps on, like, all the smart TVs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I never think to, like, go watch an award show on there, but
right,
I also, I guess when watching an award show, I make a point to make sure I have whatever login to go see it. And it may be because of work or whatever, but it's always like a process. Like, yeah, oh, if it's on something on ABC, then I've got to sign up for the trial, the whole thing. But now it's just like, oh, you can flip it on. And, like, admittedly, I think I have something going on the night of the ACMs, so I'll probably watch, like, the highlights.
Right. Yeah, if you miss it live, no one's going back and watching that.
Right.
So also, speaking of Vegas, it's kind of a little bit of older news now, but still relevant. But recently, Adele was supposed to start her Vegas residency. And last minute, I mean, what was it, like, days before?
No, it was the day of
oh my God,
the first show. Or I'm sorry, the night before. It was the night before. She, like, gets on Instagram, posts this huge message that they have to postpone, and, like, has this breakdown, essentially, I think, on video.
Yeah, it was, like, on Instagram Live.
Yeah. And I guess her show isn't ready. There's been a ton of delays.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, she's supposedly not getting along with the designer, all of that stuff. And people were pissed, as they should be.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was reading the comments, and, like, people were like, I was on a plane on the way there. And, like, you know, you're not getting that money back. And, like, I think for the tickets, you can get the money back when the date is rescheduled. I think that's the COVID policy for all of these promoters. So, like, you're out, like, what? I mean, Adele tickets started at 300. Is that right?
I think so. It's definitely, like, a couple hundred at least.
And you're probably going with a friend. It's Vegas.
Yeah,
so.
Well, and that's the thing about these residencies is it's not like it's just local people. People travel from everywhere to go to these. So a lot of people were, like you were saying, on a plane or had just gotten there, and they paid for a hotel. They paid for flights. They did the whole shebang, and then it's all canceled.
Yeah. I mean, I am curious about, one, what's really going on, and two, there's no way you knew the night before that it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Like, there had to have been indications a week out, 2 weeks out, that, like, things weren't going great and that it just had to get rescheduled. I also, like, when I put on, like, a money brain, I would love to know the cost to move all of her stuff out of Vegas. They probably have to move it to a rehearsal hall, whether that's in LA or Vegas, and redesign that set. After they already did it one time for this residency, I think I would cry. I would just probably go in the corner and cry for, like, at least a day, and then come back out and say, okay.
That sounds so horrible. But that also is kind of a reason why I don't believe some of the rumors that people are saying. For example, people are believing that Adele and her boyfriend, Rich Paul, were, like, having issues, and that's really what sent her on a spiral and led her to cancel the show. And I'm like, you guys don't understand how much money is being lost in this situation, that it had to have been, like, a crucial, like, there's no other choice but to reschedule.
Right. And, like, I mean, also, like, I'm not going to pretend to know Adele's mind or whatever, but, like, she just went through a divorce. I can't imagine, like, I think she's probably a tough person is what I'm saying. Like, even if she had relationship issues, I don't know that would send her, like, down the road of canceling a massive residency for an album she just released.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it also just doesn't really add up. And with the whole, basically, she said, like, the stage set was not ready or like they hadn't received some of the things, unless they were just like hoping that these trucks full of like the things they were supposed to have for the set were planning on arriving the day before in crunch time and they were just like crossing their fingers, then it makes no sense.
Right. Like that's also like the point, right, Lauren? Like there is something we don't know and we probably will never know that's going on with her set or with her. Who knows?
Yeah.
And that could have been it. And I have heard stories where artists like get into a building, they've seen sketches of their stage design, yada yada yada. They get in and they're like, this is does not look like the photos, essentially, and they're like, scrap it. But that usually doesn't happen the night before.
Yeah, because you set up a while before.
Right, exactly. And you have to prep, especially in a residency case, you have to prep the venue, all of that stuff. So I don't know, something's going on there.
Something's fishy.
I know she like historically has performance and anxiety, but I would think this would help alleviate that, being in like almost
one
like
place,
a home spot for your show.
Yeah.
To be able to come in and out. I think she lives in LA now, so it would seem like a no-brainer, but something's definitely going on.
Yeah.
There. And I don't think the new dates have been announced or anything, so I'm like, something larger is going on at play.
But also I'm like, I don't think it was a personal issue, but then you also are just thinking like, oh, because the album wasn't that well received, does that like mess with her or what's the deal?
Yeah, but even if it wasn't as well received as like maybe you and I perceive it, I think the residency like blew through tickets very
quickly. Oh, 100%.
Quickly.
And like these people all paid multiple hundreds to come see you. So
right.
I would still be feeling pretty good. But
right. So
yeah, but also shouts to Keith Urban for just stepping right in and be like, oh, I'll do it, I'll do the residency,
man. Keith is the guy. He does it here in Nashville when anyone needs something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
From a major star, they're like, oh, Keith, he's always the guy that'll go do it.
That's so true. He really does. Like he always shows up at like the charity event, the like
right?
All the things,
and he is willing to perform.
Oh, yeah.
Play, shake hands, kiss babies, he does the whole bit. So.
He really does. I just feel like he's just a precious gem of a person.
Oh yeah, he's yeah. Like no big deal.
What I a mean. cutie. I would go see a Keith Urban show in Vegas.
Oh, I would too.
He has so many hits.
Also, I've never seen him in like a small space, and I've never seen a full Keith Urban show that I feel like I would just sit there mesmerized. I remember you saying that it was like one of your favorite shows at Bridgestone, which
he's just
is
such
incredible.
A good performer. You forget how many good songs he has that you know.
Right.
Even people who aren't that like in the know with music, they're like, oh yeah, this one. Oh yeah, this one. Like he has a bunch, which is fun. Did you also see that BTS is doing a residency in Vegas?
I did not see that.
Yeah, it's a short one. Like I got really excited, but it's like a 10-day residency or something.
Wow.
But still, that's kind of nuts.
It's also like I was reading about, and I don't think we've talked about it, just the history of Vegas residencies, because it's gone through almost like a resurgence. It was like Vegas is almost like, quote unquote, where you go to die at the end of your career,
right?
Because you're playing like these casinos essentially. But now it's like an honorary thing to have a Vegas residency. And we've definitely touched on this on previous episodes, but like, artists like Celine Dion was saying how much she liked it because it takes the strain of traveling like off your body, and all you really have to focus on is like she said, obviously Vegas is really hot, so you got to watch your vocal cords in the desert, but other than that she's like, it's great, you come in, you do your show, and then you go home.
Yeah, and it's not like you're performing the same night in a row in another city, because again, like we were saying, in Vegas it's going to be new people coming in town because it's such a touristy place. That it's still a new crop of people who are amped to be there.
Exactly.
Also, just to correct myself, the BTS residency is 4 nights.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's surprising that we can call that a residency, but okay.
What venue is it in?
It's at the Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, that's a stadium show.
Right. That's just like you. Yeah.
Yeah,
Taylor
not...
Swift did that at Nissan. Was that a residency? No.
Yeah, we'll call it the Nashville residency, one night only.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I was like, man, they're going to play a small room in Vegas? No chance.
I mean, the tickets for that, I can't even imagine how fast they sold out.
Yeah, I can't either.
BTS fans are wild.
They're nutty. They are nutty.
In some other news, our girly Rihanna is pregnant.
I didn't know she was dating ASAP Rocky.
Oh, girl, where have you been?
Under a rock, apparently.
They've been dating for a while.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I will say... all of the Drake memes about this have been just spot on. I love the internet. They're just like, they're just like all of these memes of Drake like crying in the corner.
Yeah.
It was like Drake finds out about the baby. No,
literally nothing makes me feel like we've come together as a society more than when something happens in pop culture and you get on Twitter and every single person has something funny to say about it. You're oh, we all have the same thoughts. Yeah. We're all the same. We are one.
Yeah, we are united as humanity. And we're all thinking about Drake.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Right. But good for her. Also, like, can we get an album?
No, like, drop, we're never getting the album now.
Yeah, I know. She's, like, a billionaire now with, like, her makeup line and her clothing line, and now she has a baby. I'm like, are we ever getting this album?
She has made some comments about it in recent interviews saying that it is coming, but she's just like, obviously, I'm busy right now, but, like, I'm
waiting.
Girl,
you've been busy for the past, like, when did she release one last? Like, 10 years?
It's been a very long time.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I know you've been making your Billy, but like, we passed that. So let's get a song.
Well, but like, she, you know, she's been writing and recording. You know, she has. Right. Like, she has not stopped doing that. So like, what does your catalog look like right now? What are you hiding from us? It's so mean. And she knows how bad we want it.
Oh, yeah, she does. I'm also like wondering if she's going to do the Drake model where like, she just, like, in the next year or two, it's, like, one album, five singles, another album.
Mixtape.
Yeah, exactly. All this stuff. And she doesn't even have to tour. And she's like, I'll tour when I wanna.
Honestly, I would accept that. I'm fine with that.
I mean, I would, too. I want, like, but I want Disturbia. Yeah. Like, all over again. Totally. But, like, updated.
Yeah. I want to say, this is, like, just going off of my memory, which is pretty bad. But I want to say that originally I had heard that the rumor was that she was going to release a reggae album or like a reggae influenced album. But I want to say I also read something recently where she said, yeah, I have like that kind of project going, but that's not going to be what I release next.
Oh, weird.
Unless I dreamed that, but I'm pretty sure I read that.
Well, I don't care what she releases. I just want something.
Just something. But also, I will say the photo content has been so premium with her pregnancy. She is literally the most gorgeous pregnant person I've ever seen, the most fashionable pregnant person I've ever seen.
Yeah, I also don't understand it because she's like half naked.
Oh yeah,
really, all the time, and she still like looks beautiful.
No, but let me just tell you, I feel like any pregnant woman wants to dress like that because they're like, I don't want fabric touching me at all. Literally, if I can wear my shirt buttoned with one button and go out with like low-rise jeans,
right? Like that,
hell yeah.
I know, but also to have that confidence, because I feel like if I were pregnant, I'd be like, give me a trash bag to just like, and cut holes in it.
Just
and
a queen size sheet.
Yeah. And that's what I'll wear out.
Yeah, but that's true. No, yeah, but she's been rocking it. She's such a hottie. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, again, and the internet kills me every single time, but like the one where she's in those long jeans and they're like, what kind of jeans are these that are covering her shoes? It was so good. She was like in heels and it was like wrapped around the heel.
Well, you know, those look like the jeans that we would like wear in high school that were a boot cut, but they were like too long, not even on purpose, but they would like, when it would rain out, they would get soggy and they would slip under your shoes.
Oh yeah. And it would, the rain would, it's like, what is it called when water goes up? Capillary action. Like,
yeah, it would like soak up the jeans.
Yeah. And then it would like fray at the bottom and it was cool to have the fray.
No, I literally, I'm 5'5". I can't even begin to tell you what my jeans ended up looking like at the end of the day. Like, half of the time, my shoe would rip off the jeans. So then there would be, like, a weird, like, missing chunk.
That's what I'm talking about. With, like, Steve Madden's on.
Oh, of course. Like, the black stretchy slides.
Exactly.
Or I did wear, like, Etnies skater shoes because I thought I was, like, I was a total skater poser. Board. Yeah. Or a big thing at my high school, I'm curious actually if this was big at yours, but we did like the slide on Birkenstocks, like the mule ones, and then also the Wallabies, the Clark's Wallabies.
Oh yeah, they were like massive.
Okay, that was like nationwide. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Nationwide is on your side. Like, it was definitely a thing, and like it had to be paired, not in high school, this was back like on the jean thing, with limited to like underwear or like a shirt, and like it was like the parents definitely tried to sprint past the store to see if you like didn't recognize where you were passing, but
yeah,
it was
like don't look,
yeah, and like we're not gonna go in there, but
yeah,
obviously you want to.
100%. I'm glad Rihanna's bringing that back. I mean, the 90s are coming back, so it makes sense.
I know.
Really, the early 2000s are coming back now.
I also can't keep up, like, the middle part of the whole bit. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But, like, I'm sorry. Anyone who can pull off low-rise jeans, I hate you.
Oh, I do, too.
Rihanna's doing it 9 months pregnant, or however many months pregnant.
I wear, like, high-waisted skinny jeans, which I think are now the equivalent of mom jeans.
They are. Yeah. Like, it's come full circle. And yeah.
I can't imagine wearing anything else. So I'm like obsessed with my mom jeans. And like, I remember making fun of my mom's mom jeans. But now all the kids are in these baggy things. And I'm like, I can't wear that.
Like, I would look homeless.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of body you think I have, but not that.
Right. Correct.
Anyway. Here we are. Okay.
So also someone that I think is just really important to talk about, though this is stressful to talk about, but Kanye West.
Why is everyone always stressed when they say the words Kanye West? Like, literally no one says that with like calm and relaxation.
No, of course not.
In their tone.
No one has been in the news more than Kanye West for 25 different reasons. It's not even just one.
Also for 25 years.
Yeah, of course. Like, but I feel like it's fluctuated between like positive news and then negative news and then positive news and then negative news and then positive news and then mostly negative.
But I feel like this is a direct correlation to like mental health issues. And I mean this in a serious way of like, this is the highs and like his outward persona of what we've seen is literally a parallel of the highs and lows that he goes through. Like,
it is. Yeah.
I don't think you sent it to me. Someone sent it to me about him driving around looking for his daughter's birthday party in LA.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I say that laughing, but I was like, this is actually sad.
That's
like,
really sad.
This is sad. This man is in a Ferrari driving around LA asking the internet to tell him where this kid's birthday party is. Like, what?
It's crazy. And then like, then now like harassing Kim Kardashian on Instagram and Pete Davidson on Instagram and posting him and Kim's text threads. And she's just like, can you not?
Yeah.
Can you not?
I almost feel bad for her.
I feel so bad for her in a
weird way. Cause it's like, we've seen her life in public, obviously since the tape. And like, this is kind of like, full circle where you're at and you have kids and you have a family and like I'm not gonna pretend to know her. I don't know her morals, her values, anything. I don't know her as a human being, but like she seems to do some good work, like caring about, you know, mass incarceration and everything on that front. And I think she actually donates a lot of her money, which is admirable,
totally.
But like also to deal with stuff that I think is insanely private in a very public manner has got to be very difficult, and also very difficult on your children, because her daughter, I think, right, North is like has the North TikTok that's like managed by adults, but it's like eventually your kid's gonna see this and your kid's gonna go to school and someone's gonna be like, oh man, I saw your parents like on social media. It's like a weird way to live and probably a weird way to parent. But
and it's also so weird because Kim has been so seemingly kind to Kanye throughout this whole thing. Like, obviously, they got divorced and everything was pretty quiet on the front of, like, explaining why. And she was always still saying nice things about him. Literally has never said anything negative about him, really, even till now. The only thing that's come out is, like, her documents from court, because she was petitioning to be, like, legally single because she was like, I can't like do this anymore. So some of her statements from court have like leaked out of her just being like, this is erratic behavior, I feel unsafe, blah blah blah. But publicly she's never said a bad word about him, like ever, even when she probably should have. So
it's also like the father of her kids,
right?
Yeah. So I mean, I know this is like a very vague statement, but I feel like people at that level that are creative geniuses cannot have normal lives, like cannot essentially, like, to be that creative you almost have to have some sort of mental health disorders to go to that spot, like the same way like Steve Jobs did. Like Steve Jobs, if you read his biography, right, I mean, he's crazy. He like didn't want to admit that his daughter was his daughter and like pay for her to go to Harvard, which was like no money to him at the time. Like he had to be convinced of that. And it's like, to be that genius, you can't, it's almost like you can't have it all and you can't have this normal life and everything to be that creative.
Well, there's like a super high correlation between creative people and creative and successful people and like mental health issues.
Right.
Of various kinds, but yeah.
Well, and he's, I don't know if he's publicly stated, maybe like the Kardashian family, that he suffers from like bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that like there's other things going on, but it's also like managing that in a way that he can have a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Which is probably difficult.
100%. And I think that you can tell from the way that he's posting and how much he's posting, because it's been an ongoing thing for years now, his rage tweets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like they'll come in these spurts. Like he'll be tweeting nonstop for like a certain period of time, and then you don't see a tweet from him for months or whatever.
Right.
And it's like very clearly aligned with like his mental state for sure.
And I would add to that too, like what he's going through at that time. Like,
yeah,
for example, I went to one of his shows. I think it was the Yeezus show, and he stopped the show to rant for 15 minutes, which he does almost every show. But he was ranting, I think, about Nike, because he was leaving Nike at that time. So he literally ranted about how bad Nike was. And it was like, this is him like therapeutically talking through his frustrations. And he's probably like having legal discussions on the back end.
Yeah.
Going to Adidas. But like, this is him just working through it in a very public way in front of thousands of people on a stage.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I can't ever tell if it's, he's doing that because he doesn't feel like his voice is ever being heard, and so he has to do that, or because he knows how much his voice is being heard and that it influences people. Like, I don't know which one of those it is.
Right.
Or if it's both, you know?
Right. And it's just, it's either like genius or it's scary or a combination of both. I mean,
yeah,
we've also talked about it too. I think when he was doing that flying stage thing, he was being managed by Scooter Braun at the time, and Scooter,
I forget that happened.
Yeah. And Scooter, he said he went to a rehearsal and Kanye is walking around with a phone, like taking photos of the stage and like doing like kind of just weird stuff with his phone. And he's like, hey man, like, what are you doing? And he's like, I want to see how kids are going to experience this and make sure it looks right while I'm up there. And he was like, Scooter essentially was like, this is like something none of us really ever thought about. We were like, this looks cool. It's a flying stage. Like, that's it. And he's literally walking around looking at the photos to see what the angles look like from people taking photos.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
But I mean, speaking of genius, have you seen any of the Netflix documentary?
No, I'm behind on it. And like, here's my other conspiracy theory behind this too. I can't tell if the Call Her Daddy episode that like went viral with TikTok, where it's like,
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. Like, that timing was so perfect with the release of Genius. And I'm like, was that all planned?
It's possible.
Yeah.
It is possible. Because, like, obviously the Kanye documentary is, like, he's involved in that. It's his footage and he's very much involved in that. So it's certainly possible. Everyone in that circle is a genius when it comes to marketing and timing and all that stuff. So I would not be surprised. Did you listen to that interview? The Call Her Daddy interview.
So I didn't listen to all of it. I just like watched the clips of it because everyone was like, Uncut Gems. What is it?
Things like that.
And I was like, what? But it was so good. And then like literally all the memes from it kill me.
Oh, it's incredible. I'm fascinated by Julia Fox. And that's just like a whole other, like we could do a whole episode on just their relationship, which lasted for like 1 week, but felt like it was a lifetime of content. But her episode was really interesting, and just hearing her talk about like her interactions with Kanye, and she was like, his mind is like next level, blah blah blah. But it was super interesting. But I just watched the first episode. It's a trilogy, the Genius documentary on Netflix. I watched the first episode and I really wish that that had come out before we did our College Dropout deep dive.
Oh, it has a lot of old content.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
So like the whole show is filmed by his friend Cootie, who literally was, I forget what he was doing before. He was doing something creative, but not photography or videography.
Okay.
And Kanye was just like, hey, like, come film, you know, like, life.
Yeah.
He literally was just like, I know I'm going to be a big deal, and I know I'm going to want this footage. Just come follow me around and film everything. And he did. And I'm just honestly shocked it's never been used up until now. But it's literally, like, him, you know, with Kanye at different events, like, talking to people, going into, like, the office of some record label and, like, Kanye rapping for them and them all ignoring him and, like, just all these crazy moments. I'm so shocked they haven't used this footage before now, but I'm, like, really interested in it all. And it's, like, cool to see actual footage of some of the stuff that we talked about in the College Dropout deep dive of just, like, that period of his life and, like, how some of those things went down, like, how he was working with certain artists and, like, how those songs came about. It's really interesting so far.
Yeah.
So I recommend watching it. But
I it's definitely on the list to watch. And it, like, timed up almost perfectly, obviously, with an album release from Kanye. Yeah. Which, so I have a dumb question. What's a stem two player?
Oh, so the album release you're talking about is Donda 2.
Yeah.
And he was going to release it just normally, and then he decided to release it only on a stem player, which my first thought, which I think actually would be pretty cool if it doesn't exist, is I thought it was going to be some sort of, like, program where you could, like, see the stems of the song and, like, do remixes, like, manipulate it, hear the different parts, blah, blah, blah. It's basically a physical little device that you buy. It's $200 and you buy it, and that's the only way you can listen to the record is on this little device that you pay $200 for.
But it's been now uploaded illegally across the internet. Yeah,
sure. But also think about how valuable those, like, little things are going to be now.
Right.
But I mean, I'm shocked. Kanye posted about the sales numbers from this stem player, even just like a day or two after he released it. And they're huge. I can't remember the exact number, but I was shocked.
I mean, and he
also expensive.
I think he also turned down like a $100 million deal, if I have that right, from Apple to be it. To have the exclusive release of,
I mean, but
Donda
he made more too. Than that on this stem player. And then, like, his whole reasoning for doing this is going back to our Spotify issue with artists. He's like, artists don't make substantial money from streaming. Like, it literally goes to everyone else but the artist, and it's insane, and no one cares to change it. So I'm going to create my own path to keeping this revenue.
That's crazy.
So he did, and it freaking worked.
Yeah. You know? I mean, but this is also the guy that can, like, make $7 million in merch from an album listening party. Like, his platform as an artist is in reach is literally insane. It's unparalleled, I think.
It's so huge. I think that's what's, like, the most shocking thing about watching the Genius documentary is, like, he knew it. He knew that he would be, and no one around him was, like, really believing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, like, one of the scenes in the show, he was, like, rapping for some other artist who, like, I don't really know. And that rapper was, like, somebody that Kanye respected at the time. And he's like, yeah, he's like, this guy's great. But he wasn't like, this dude is the best of the best. Like, you're going to be hearing his name. He just was kind of like, yeah, he's good. And I feel like that's the reaction he got from a lot of people. And it's like, if him then could see him now, he would not be surprised, but everyone else.
Right. Would be shocked.
Shocked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy, but that's just the power of believing in yourself.
I need some inspiration, so maybe I'll watch it.
100%.
So I feel like this is a good segue from Kanye making all of this money on the Stem 2 players into catalog sales, because artists seem to be making those sales left and right now. And, like, I could be corrected, so feel free to jump in. And if anyone's listening, please feel free to jump in as well. But as I understand it, the way the tax code is written right now, when you sell a catalog, there's a loophole for musicians so that you are taxed as at a capital gains rate, which is usually lower than your actual taxable income rate, which is probably higher. So with the change in administration in the White House, artists are running to make sure that they sell that catalog for the most amount of money possible, which is, I don't know what the multiple is. It's like 10 or 20x the value of the royalties that they think they accumulate in 1 year. I don't know. Hedge funds, like, I'm sure have some sort of algorithm or formula to dictate that. And then they get that money on the upfront. And so I think Kenny Chesney just sold his for an undisclosed amount. Dylan sold for $500 million. Aldean just sold his for $100 million. And it's interesting because all of these hedge funds want to buy into it because it's safe. It's like a government bond where you get this reoccurring revenue annually and however often those royalties are paid out. So they're paying these high multiples for that. And then the artists are just getting this chunk of money on the upfront, which I just think is like fascinating to see.
It is. So how does that work with, like, so now selling those catalogs, like, they don't have, do they have creative control over what happens with those songs? Like, what they're used in, or?
I think they do. What they sell is like their revenue share of it. So like, whatever Kenny Chesney, like, say he owned, I don't know, like if it was a 60-40 deal, whatever the deal was of his revenue from his catalog, that hedge fund, whoever he sold to, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Hypnogenius and BlackRock, or Blackstone, I'm sorry. Now they get that revenue.
But
they pay a high premium to have the rights to get that revenue for X number of years.
Got it.
And I mean, the publishers, right, will still do their jobs of placing it. And then the publishers get their share, but Kenny just sold his share of it.
Yeah, but he still controls like the
right.
Creative.
Exactly, exactly.
Got it.
And those are usually like term deals. So I think it's like for 5 to 10 years at a time, and then you can sell it again.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. I just in my head was like, oh, forever this is.
No. But that's what like a lot of songwriters do. They sell their catalog for X number of years, then re-up.
That's kind of smart. So then you're just basically getting like just a chunk of money from these people, like as a almost like an advance payment on your
Royalties.
And
it's essentially, do you want this upfront money now or do you want it over the course of X number of years? Because the hedge funds are not going to overpay, right? If they pay $100 million for a catalog for X number of years, they're going to hope to make that plus some.
Right.
Or they have the right to the resale of that catalog, which I don't think artists are giving up. Yeah. So the deal, I think, has to be worth more than that.
So then it's valuable. It's valuable for the artist to just have it up front, but not if they wait and like just kept their own, they could be making more than that.
Yeah,
in
but
the long
think about
run.
It. If you get $100 million right now, you can go invest it. You can make it, you make money from the interest of that.
Totally.
Versus just getting $5 million today and then $5 million next year.
Yeah.
You make a lot less money from that chunk of money.
Yeah.
And again, the tax break on it. You don't know what the tax rate is going to be should you want to sell it down the line.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to do like all that financial accounting and tooling to figure out kind of what it's worth.
Yeah.
But
I work in accounting, and just like even thinking about that gives me the hives. Like,
I think it's so
fascinating. It's so complicated.
Yeah.
People literally have to have like so much education on all of these things because it's so confusing and there's so many moving parts to it all.
It is, but I think like the safety of it is why like hedge funds and asset managers are almost getting into the game, because you know you're going to get your royalty from that rather than the stock market, which is like down and out right now. It's way riskier. So
totally.
That's an interesting tidbit. And then speaking of like crazy multiples, like the catalog sales have been out of control, but the NFT sales have been nuts. And I'm trying to get one, Lauren. Like, I have FOMO. I have, just because I want one, to say I have one. Like, literally, it's just FOMO for no reason. And I know what you're going to ask me. Can I just screenshot it and make my profile whatever, a bored ape?
It's
but
called,
they'll know that it's fake because I don't have $1 million, million plus dollars to spend on a bored ape. So I'm just a poser.
It's called Right Click Save As.
Yeah. So anyway, everyone has an NFT. Justin Bieber just bought a Bored Ape for 1.29. Post Malone has bought, has purchased some Bored Apes. Jimmy Fallon. Everyone's into Bored Apes. And I just read the other day that Bored Apes as an entity, I think, has entered into an agreement with Universal. So we'll have content now from Bored Apes, which is almost like those 3D fake, like virtual artists. Like we can get stuff now from Bored Apes. And they're not like real. It's a group of people that own the copyrights to Bored Apes.
It just all, it's just
I feel
like
you're silent.
It's just like, why? You know what I mean? That's all I can think of. It's just why. What is the purpose of it?
Because like, why not? That is your answer. Because why not? And like
a lot of reasons why not. It's A, it's dumb. B, B, it's confusing for no reason. C, why do you need to spend $1 million on a picture?
Because why not?
You don't even have like a piece of art you can hang in your home that people see.
No, but you got a screen that you can like display your NFT on.
Literally, if I went over to someone's house and they were showing me a screen showing their NFT, I'd be like, you are a huge loser.
Well, I think that like officially makes us old because all the cool kids are doing it. And I want a dead fella, which is another NFT that's just like.
How do you find out about these?
Because I'm like a loser and I'm on the internet a lot. But you can actually then create merch from your dead fella. And they did like a...
Yeah, I could create a merch from your dead fella too. It's called redbubble.com.
Wow. So yeah, I think that's interesting. I did... shoot. What is the guy's name from Linkin Park? Mike Shinoda?
Yeah.
Shinoda. Mm-hmm. He created this NFT project, which I thought was so cool. Did I talk about it on here?
Might have. It's kind of ringing a bell, but I don't know if I just read about it. So
yeah, I think I did. Where like he released various versions of an album and you could buy pieces of it and eventually like piece it together.
Yes, yeah, which was cool.
Super cool. The like master layer, I think, was the vocal layer. And that was the only thing that was the same across all of them. Which I thought was super cool, yeah. And you got some artwork and all this cool stuff. But I am curious to see, and I think we've talked about it, like, what's going to happen in the country space? Because I don't think anyone in country has really touched it. And we did talk about this. CMAs released, I think, 25 of them last year during the CMA Awards, and that was, like, it. But I want to see a country artist do something cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I feel like just... in general, country artists take more of the safe route on things like that. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like the country demographic has traditionally been the slowest to adapt to new technology.
And it's more heavily like the working class.
Right. Exactly. Piece. So yeah. Like, I don't know. I think it'll take some time, but I would be curious to see like kind of what they do.
Yeah. One of the coolest sets of NFTs that I have seen, which I
NFT?
Yeah, because it's someone that I like follow as a person who started it. But Jeremy Cower, who is like a huge photographer, he's done like album covers and just like professional photos for like every single artist you know and love. And he's just like really creative and so cool with like his stuff because he's also a visual or like he does like a lot of like digital art and graphic design and stuff in addition to photography. So he kind of like merges everything together. And so... he did this project where he takes a bunch of different images and it's like different like textures, but then different like maybe the eye from this photo and the mouth from this photo and like this shading from this photo. And it's all the different layers. And then from the front of it, it looks just like this really cool abstract picture. But then like if you have the NFT, you can drag it to the side and see each of the layers.
Oh, that's cool. It's almost like in galleries sometimes they hang stuff on the in-between. You know what I'm talking about? And it creates a frontal picture. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but like digital basically. And that is cool. But I'm like, do I see the GIF on Twitter. Do I need to pay for this? You know what I mean?
Because it's free. Yeah, I don't know. I think... we're going to see everything move digitally as we move into digital currency. I realize I sound kind of crazy, but I think...
you're just a tech bro.
Yeah, I am a tech bro. Just pass me a Patagonia vest. And as it like all moves digitally, I think art is going to shift.
Yeah.
In a big way on to digital.
Yeah. And I think like the NFTs make me so eye-rolly right now just because of what they are. But I think like finding creative ways to use them, like you were saying, like the Mike Shinoda thing, and like just the more creative things and like ways to use something that you already want to have, like right. a digital song or whatever, that makes a lot more sense because it's like a useful thing that is valuable to you. Like some random photo is not valuable to me really personally.
Right. And like Mike also did another one, which was cool. He had like artwork made and he just gifted them into wallets of fans. And like, if you signed up, you got one and it was free. And like, he was like, this is also my gift to fans to be like, if you're a super fan and you want to hang on to this, cool. If you want to sell it for 10 grand, go do it.
Yeah.
And like, I just helped you make 10 grand. So awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I was like, you're the man. That's really yeah. fucking cool.
He Ooh. Is cool.
Cool.
All right, y'all. That's it for the music news. And we're going to talk about our personal currents.
Woo woo.
So currently I am reading this book called The Circle by Maggie Shipstead, which was one of like the top books from 2021, like on all the best of lists.
Whoa, I have yeah. not heard about this one. What's it about?
So it is about, it's sort of hard to describe because it's like so complex, but basically it tells the story of a female pilot who went missing or like died in like the 20s or something. And then current day, the female actress who plays that character in a film. And so it kind of tells like leading up, it tells like alternates between the two storylines leading up from like the pilot girl as a little girl growing up and how she became a pilot. And then like the actress girl and how she got to this role. And it just comes like full circle. It's very long, but so far it's really good. And I hear such good things. It's like people's favorite book. So,
oh, cool. Well you'll see. Have to let me know.
I totally
and I
will
add it to the list.
Yes. It's like 700 pages though.
Whoa.
Okay. Actually, maybe that's dramatic. Maybe it's like 500, but it feels like a lot.
Well, on that note, I literally have an update, guys. I finished Barack Obama's book.
Oh, wow.
That was like
I'm proud.
Thank you. That was a 700 pager.
That was long.
It was so long.
And cerebral.
I mean, yeah. The guy writes like a lawyer, talks like a lawyer, the whole bit.
But did you like it or not?
No, I really liked it. But man, I just felt like I think I ate a cookie and like got pizza and stuff. Like I celebrated finishing the book.
As you should.
Because it was
so long.
It's
such a relief when you finish a super long book.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I finished that one and I am now reading My Life in Full, which is the Indra Nooyi, I think, book. She is the former female CEO of Pepsi and like talks about just like overcoming adversity as a woman in business and like literally rising through the ranks and like talking about family and trying to balance the two. I don't know. It's been on the top like business lists, I think, for a while in memoirs. So I'm only a few pages in and I'm really pumped about it.
That
it's
sounds
really
like
good.
That could be good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love a memoir.
Oh, me too.
Even if I like don't really know
wait,
the person that
no,
well.
It's a biography. Memoir is when they die, right?
No, memoir is just like when you... Memoirs and autobiographies are kind of the same. Biography is when someone else writes your life story.
Yeah. No, this is an autobiography.
Yeah.
And,
same diff as a memoir, I feel like.
Yeah. And I think she's like been ranked as one of the most 100 most powerful females in business. So just super cool.
Love that.
So yeah, that's what I'm reading. What are you watching, Lou?
Okay. This is like the most basic B answer, but it's just true. Euphoria.
Okay. I'm behind. Are you loving this season or?
Yeah,
okay.
I am. I have been hearing kind of mixed reviews. Some people are kind of bored. I'm like, I've truly undiagnosed ADD and it's the only show that I can actually put my phone down and pay attention to.
Well, I feel like you have to pay attention
yeah.
because it moves so quickly. And like, I liked the opening episode for this season, but also I was just like,
so stressful.
Yeah, it was a lot. So I haven't like been in the mood lately because I'm like, afterwards my heart is racing. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this like what kids are doing? And the whole bit, and I like can't sleep. So I'm like, I'm behind.
It is a stressful show, but it's also just, it's literally art. Like the way it's done is so unique and every episode is different. Some episodes feel like a totally different show and some episodes feel like they're three episodes in one. And it's just such a fascinating show, but it all tells like this complete story of like showing all the different sides of all these characters, and it's chef's kiss. It's so good. The last episode that I watched, the night we're recording, tonight's the finale actually, but the last episode was Lexi's play, and I loved that episode so much.
And now I have FOMO.
You gotta catch up.
Yeah, I have to catch up. I just need to commit to being stressed. Like it's almost better to watch it, at least for me, during the daytime, because I'm like, I feel like at nighttime then I have weird dreams, and then it's just like it seeps into this like, you know, subconscious where I'm like, oh, I don't want those thoughts.
Literally, there are going to be so many awards won from this season of this show.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Like Zendaya will be winning something. Maude Apatow should. What's his name? The guy from Grey's Anatomy, McSamey.
Yeah.
He's winning something.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Like there's just been so many good performances in the show. I mean, it's iconic. It's so good. Also, I've started watching The Real Housewives of New Jersey from season one. And I'm now on season, I just started season four today.
So good.
So I've made a lot of progress. I've been watching it a lot and it's really good. It's very stressful though also because they fight, but like, it's not like other housewives where you're just like, whatever, they'll get over it or they'll just hate each other and move on. Like all of Jersey is family. So like they can't escape each other. So it's so stressful.
It's like a brawl too. Yeah. It's not like casual, which I also appreciate, and I also have no problem like going to sleep after watching that. Like it makes me again feel better about my life because I'm like, well, at least I'm not trying to like punch someone across the table.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. But it's a great show. What are you watching?
I am watching Inventing Anna. Ooh. Per your recommendation.
Proud.
And it is fascinating. I also like, so I just started it. I think I'm on episode four.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get over her accent. And like I watched, I think she was on Fallon and she was talking about how she had to do a Russian accent, but also make it seem fake and try to do like a German accent intermixed with it while also pretending to be more American around the American friends in certain scenes and more European around other scenes. And I was totally tripped out.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
A lot of people were hating on the accent. But it's exactly how Anna Delvey sounds. Her act, it's like Dorit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it makes like no sense. But that's just it's a conglomeration of all these different things
for this persona. Yeah, exactly. But when the first episode, I was like, "What? This is like not good acting." But it was like done on purpose.
Yeah, actually, she thought it through so hard.
Yeah,
and like perfected it. But yeah, it's not pleasing to listen to at all.
Yeah. So it's good. It is also very Shonda Rhimesy. Like it's like. Yeah. Dramatic but like glitzy, and I'm like
It's a little Lifetimey.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, Shonda Rhimes, I'm such a fan of some of her earlier work that I'm like, is this where we're at? Like, but it's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so far so good.
I did finish it. It's like fine. Just the story in general is so fascinating to me. So
yeah, the fact that this is a true story is nuts.
Oh yeah. So currently listening, there is a song by Lizzie McAlpine and Ben Kessler called Reckless Driver that
Ooh.
Is so good. I've talked about Lizzie McAlpine before. I discovered her on TikTok and she is so talented. It's insane. She just went on tour with somebody, I can't remember who, and she was in Nashville playing at, I think, Basement East or something, but I don't know, at the Ryman. She was opening for somebody at the Ryman.
Crazy.
But she like teased this song Reckless Driver on TikTok a while ago. And then it finally came out this past week. And I literally have not been able to get it out of my head for one single second. Like I wake up singing it. It's so good. So
wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah. What are you listening to?
Well, okay. So I had to look it up because I also found someone on TikTok who's a pop person. But have you heard of the girl Love You Later?
No.
It's really, it's great. It's like ethereal pop, maybe?
Ooh, my favorite genre.
It's really awesome. And yeah, same thing. I was scrolling through TikTok and I was like, what is this? And now I've been listening to it. But like her handle is different. It's like, hey, Love You Later or something. The actual band name is Love You Later. And that's been dope. And then my boy Jack Harlow released Nail Tech, which was great. It wasn't my all-time favorite. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like, meh, but I still like bump it.
Circling back to Kanye, did you see that Kanye gave him a shout out?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like now he's made it.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be in stadiums.
I just thought it was so cute, his reaction. Because, like, I feel like he's blown up a lot over the last year, especially. But, like, to get recognition from someone like Kanye, who obviously is, like, someone that for sure Jack grew up listening to, he was geeking out. And I thought that was so funny.
Yeah. Because
he's such a, like, cool dude, you know? You're like,
but he's also, like, super nerdy, which I think is, like, endearing to him. So, anyway, yeah.
That was cute.
Love it.
All right. Well, that's all we got for you today. We have a really fun episode coming up for you guys next. So stay tuned for that. We're excited for a fresh season.
Stay buzzed.
And stay cool. Bye.